Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 89, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. Ye children, come, give ear to me, and learn Jehovah's fear. He who would long and happy live, let him my counsel hear, and what follows. Psalter 89, the first four stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the prophet Jonah and there of the first chapter. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe on Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Jonah 1. And now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I feared the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the man knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee that the sea may become unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea become unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. And nevertheless the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. And now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is pleased thee by renewal that we may gather around about thy word and eternal testimony. A few may gather in thy house, the greatest part is bound to their homes in this day. And then by renewal, Lord, we humbly ask thee, wilt thou bind it upon all our hearts? Wilt thou give ears to hear and hearts to perceive that thou art speaking unto the nations upon the face of the earth, that thou art speaking unto thy church, that thou art speaking unto the family circles, that thou art speaking unto us personally. And then we must confess what the prophet of old has declared concerning the children of Judah, concerning their great sin, that they have left thee the cistern of living waters. And then thou wast granted so much prosperity, although many trials and many afflictions, and nevertheless compared to many nations, then we have been so richly blessed. But we have become independent. We have become proud. We have despised thee and thy word. And to that end the prophet has said, not only the sin of leaving thee, the cistern of living water, but hewn out ourselves broken cisterns, cisterns that can hold no water. Lord, we humbly ask thee, may it please thee, to come in with the solemn callings. May it please thee to work lovingly and irresistibly abide thy Holy Spirit. There are many fears concerning this life, a fear of sickness and all the related consequences. It is all in thy hand. And may we be given to lay all those matters before thee with a deep impression of our sin, of our unworthiness, of thy holiness, and of thy justice, but of begging thee for a little mercy, O Lord. Then we may humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, to place a fiery wall around about us and our children. But above all, may there be a fear that is greater than the fear for sickness, and that is the fear of sinning against a good doing and a holy God. Ach, Lord, may it please thee to use these solemn callings to that end, for us and our children. Work then mightily by thy Spirit. May we learn to know thee. May we learn to know ourselves. Ah, that godly sorrow that worketh that true repentance, which thou shalt not take away from thy people. And not only that godly sorrow, but a seeking to be washed and cleansed in the precious blood of thy dear Son. Lord, may it please thee to remember us and our children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. Because also concerning the solemn callings, we cannot remain the same. It shall either be a savor of life unto life, or a savor of death unto death. Ah, Lord, may it please thee to work a revival amongst us and our children. May it please thee to bless thy word in this evening hour to that end. May it be for the conversion of our little children, of our youth, the middle-aged, the elderly ones amongst us. Wilt thou uncover false foundations, and wilt thou remember thy children. Ah, may they be stirred up. Thy people have many things to confess. The prayer chambers, they are empty too often. Ah, that wrestling with thee, oh, it is true, Lord. Thou grantest those times, and thy people learn that it is all a gift from above. Ah, when thou wrestlest with them as with the angel of Jacob, then they shall be given to wrestle with thee, and they shall not let thee go, except thou bless them. May these solemn callings be used in the life of thy Zion, that they may be led further. May there be no rest outside of that only rest, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, bless the many means of grace amongst us in the church, in the family circles, under the circumstances that the families undoubtedly are enabled to be more together. May it be around thy holy word. And then we remember the Christian school is closed. And then we humbly ask Thee to remember the teachers with what they are required to do to prepare the assignments for the students. O wilt Thou grant unto fathers and mothers and their children that they may be diligent in this respect. Remember Thy church all over the earth. Remember the established churches. Remember the persecuted church. Oh, do uphold them. Remember those in prison that are being tortured for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wilt Thou remember mission work, our mission field? Wilt Thou remember Thy servants and the team? Remember the Jewish people. Remember those that may bring Thy word to the far corners of the earth, Lord. Remember our poor nation. Remember our leaders. Wilt Thou grant wisdom and understanding in these difficult times? And then we remember the medical field. Wilt Thou strengthen? Wilt Thou help? May it please Thee to spare. May many be brought on their knees. Lord, as a nation, and then we have departed so far from Thee, and so many unborn are being murdered, Thy day desecrated, the seventh commandment trampled upon. We have become as a Sodom and as a Gomorrah, O Lord. May it please Thee to remember the family circles. May also the solemn callings be used to bind closer together in love and in unity around Thy word. What is separated, may it please Thee to bring together. We commend unto Thee the young couple who hope to be united in holy matrimony in this week. Then there shall not be so many present on account of the circumstances, but then we may humbly ask Thee for Thy special presence, Lord. Wilt Thou grant unto that young couple that they may be given to truly bow their knees sincerely in their hearts, humbling begging of Thee that Thou may go with them. Then by renewal we remember all the sick and the afflicted, the mother in her weak and serious condition, O Lord. Wilt Thou be mindful of her? May she be given to cry unto Thee. Prepare her to meet the Maker in righteousness and in peace. Uphold her dear husband, the family circle. Remember all under the physician's care. Remember sick relatives. Remember all of our elderly ones. Also their thoughts shall multiply under the callings, under the circumstances. May they be given to beg of Thee for Thy protection, and above all for that one thing needful. Remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought dear ones to the cemetery. Remember all the handicapped ones. Remember the crosses and the burdens. Lord, we now humbly beg of Thee for Thy help. May there be Aaron's and hers. May Thou be a surprising God. May it be an unforgettable evening, that the solemn judgments, together with the proclamation of Thy holy word, that it may be used. Lord, Thou holdest Thy hand so still. 'Tis not Thy fault. 'Tis the fault of the church, where we have become so world-conformed. But all may these solemn callings, may they be used to that end, that there may be a repentance among young and old, and that we may be given to haste for our life's sake to find a place of shelter. Wilt Thou graciously take away everything that could be a hindrance? Oh, may there be many troubled souls when they are called upon to remain in their dwellings, and were in this day that they could not come up to Thy house. Wilt Thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 240, the stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to Thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in Thy mercy. Answer me, and what follows. Psalter 240, the stanzas 1 and 2. Beloved hearers, we have read together the first chapter of the prophet Jonah, a history that is so well known even unto our children. And then we have heard that the Lord has sent a great storm upon the sea. And then we read something very remarkable, that those heathens, that they were given to call upon their God, and that Jonah, a prophet of the Lord, that he was lying asleep in the bottom of the ship. And then those heathen sailors, then they have awoke Jonah. And then they said, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And now how is it with us and our children under the solemn judgments of the Lord, where he is speaking in a special way to the inhabitants, to the nations of the earth, where he is speaking to the churches, where he is speaking to our families, where the Lord is speaking to each individually, then do we resemble that sleeping Jonah? Are we lying on the pillow of complacency, upon the pillow of lukewarmness, upon the pillow of passiveness, upon the pillow of self-righteousness? Are we lying upon the pillow of world conformity? Young and old, may we be given to examine ourselves. And then in this evening, then the Lord says unto us, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God." Ah, the poor world in this day, then all so many places, worldly places of vanity. And I hope, people, that we and our children do never visit those places, organized sport, theaters, bars, the places of wickedness and vanity. Many have been closed on this Lord's Day. And then that poor world, they are so poor, they have nothing. We may still have a God's holy word, but the necessity that we may be awakened, that we may be given to cry unto the living God, to that end, with the help of the Lord, then by renewal, then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, Isaiah 26, the verses 20 and 21. "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For, behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. An urgent calling to enter into our chambers. Whom are called? The reason why we are called. The place we are called to. And the hope in this calling. Then congregation. Then in this morning hour. Then we have considered that first part. A message. That came to a people under the external administration of the covenant of grace. A great privilege, a great blessing, and a great responsibility. But now the necessity, and has that become our question and our trouble? An examination. Because Israel, that is a type of the true people of God. Oh, my people, that is that chosen people, and that is hidden from us. That is that people that have been purchased with the precious blood of Christ. That is that people where the Spirit has worked and continues to work. And now our second thought, the reason to come in the chamber, and then in the context, then it speaks of the judgments that would come upon the people of Israel. But let us not misunderstand it. That must not be the only reason. Because boys and girls, what would you think of children that only came to their father and mother when they were hungry, when they had difficulties, when they were hurt? That would not be so nice for your parents. But if it is right, then we like to be in their company. I hope sometime you tell them that you appreciate much all they do for you, that you love them, and that you may come to them with your questions as you grow up. Andrew Gray, that godly young minister whom the Lord has taken home before his 23rd birthday. And when we read his sermons, so deeply led in the things of the Lord, then he has stated in a certain place that the church comes to Christ sometime by faith, other times by love, or by both, but most of the time because of need. And now in the context, and in the book of Isaiah, then the judgments they were approaching, under the prophecy of this prophet, different circumstances. He has begun his prophecy under King Uzziah, a king that has done much for the country. He loved agriculture, fortified the walls, invented catapults. He was marvelously helped. We read in 2 Chronicles 26, the verses 16 and 17, For he was marvelously helped until he became strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to destruction. When we think of our country, a land flowing with milk and honey, the envy of so many countries upon the face of the earth, the Lord has prospered us for so many years. But we have become proud. We have forgotten the Lord. When we think of all the unborn that are being murdered, the Lord's Day desecrated, the seventh commandment despised and trampled upon, then we must say with Jeremiah of old, in Lamentations 5 verse 16, the crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto thee that we have sinned. Then we may say with the psalmist, and may the Lord grant an impression thereof, of the solemnity of the times. Psalm 119, verse 120, my flesh trembleth because of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Then already in the beginning of this book, then Isaiah was given to lay bare the sins of the children of Israel in chapter 1, verse 5. Then he has prophesied, why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will only rebel more. Then in the verses 11 through 15, then the prophet has spoken concerning their religious worship. We shall read it, and then may we be given to listen, and may we be given to listen for ourselves, how guilty we have become, also concerning the worship of the Lord. Then we read in verse 11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? Saith the Lord, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it, it is iniquity, even the solemn meeting, your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hateth, they are a trouble unto me, I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you, yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear your hands full of blood. Have we heard at congregation? And then when we are honest, when we put our hand in our bosom, when we think where the Lord has given in his providence, that for so many years, we could come up to God's house, and in this day it has become different. When we reflect on the past, and when we read those verses, oh, must we not say, guilty, guilty before the Lord,
Must we then not be given to beg of the Lord the pardoning of all of our sins? In chapter 2, the prophet has spoken of idol worship. In chapter 3, the verses 16 through 26, then we read of the haughty daughters of Israel with their God dishonoring attire. O congregation, may we be given to turn unto ourself. The church has come in a very low estate. When office bears, when they are called upon in their official duties, and when they must behold the immodesty that fills them with sorrow and with grief. Oh, there are those that are attempting to reform. May that reformation go further. I have asked the Lord that the eyes may be opened, that sin may become sin, and that the Lord may arise for the holiness of His own house. Oh, then for the children of Israel, then the prophets, they were given to declare the sins of the people. They have mentioned them by name. Oh, the prophet Jeremiah, it is true. The prophet Jeremiah has prophesied later. But then in Jeremiah 22, verse 29, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Is the Lord not calling to the earth, to the whole world, to the nation, but also to the church? And then we read the reason why a people is called upon to enter their chambers, because they read, until the indignation be overpast. Oh, the indignation of the Lord, that is His anger and His fury against the church, against the inhabitants. I read in Psalm 69, the verses 24 and 25, pour out thine indignation upon them, and let thy wrathful anger take hold of them, O young and old. When the Lord is speaking, are we given to see the indignation of the Lord? Have we turned in unto ourselves? O, considered our heart, considered our unthankfulness, considered our sin. And then in verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of His place. The Lord is long-suffering, but there comes a time that long-suffering comes to an end. Oh, what a solemn moment, for behold, the Lord cometh out of His place. We could speak, boys of girls, of a king that has certain districts and that have rebelled, that have committed the greatest treason, and that the king finally, after sending many a warning, oh, pleading with that people that they may come to their senses. And then finally there comes a time when the king musters his army and he marches towards such a land. Oh, woe unto such a land! For behold, the Lord cometh out of His place, and the reason to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Oh, the inhabitants of the earth, that includes us and our children. Let us remember that national sin That brings national guilt and that requires national punishment. Then the Lord has been long-suffering for so many years. And now do we not see that the Lord has come from His place, that the Lord has come from His justice, from the heavens with His justice in His indignation, to punish the inhabitants of the earth, and then further, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. May it please the Lord to use this solemn calling that I may become the sinner. Oh, young and old, are we prepared to meet our Maker? If the Lord shall pull through, and if this sickness would be the chariot, the wagon, that would take us, and that would usher us into eternity, oh, were we prepared to that end? May we be given to bow, may we be given to repent, may we be given to mightily cry unto the living God. The earth for their iniquity, the earth also shall disclose her blood. Do we not read in the book of Revelation that the Lord shall avenge the blood of the saints that has been shed throughout the ages? When we read that the earth shall disclose her blood, oh, the blood of the unborn that have been slain, and that are being slain in our country, they cry unto the Lord for vengeance. It is registered in the heavens. The Lord is not an idle onlooker. We read in our text, shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Thus then we see the reason, congregation, that the prophet Isaiah, oh, after the song, where he is given to sing that the Lord reigneth, and that the Lord is a bulwark, that the Lord is a shelter for His people. But in the midst of distress, oh, then the reason to come in the chamber. Our third thought, and that is the place we are called to. Then we read in our text, come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber. What are we to understand by those chambers? That chamber, that is a secret place. That is a hidden place. And then when we read of that chamber, then we may speak of two matters. Oh, in the first place, in short, then there are those that think that this text also refers, that it recalls the wonders of old which the Lord has done among the children of Israel. When we think of the plague of Heal, then commandment was given that they must seek shelter. Those that have sought shelter, they were safe. Those that have disobeyed, they were killed. Oh, when we think of the children of Israel on the night of Passover, when the destroying angel would go through the land, oh, then they needed blood. And the Lord has said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, young and old, has that need been born? Have we experienced the exceeding sinfulness of sin? Have we become a lost sinner? Have we learned that we cannot satisfy justice? Has the need for the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ been experienced? Oh, that He has become necessary. that he has become precious. Oh, in those chambers, in their dwellings, they were safe. Think of Rahab the harlot. When the city of Jericho was taken, with that scarlet thread, then she was safe. But when we read in our text, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut the doors about thee. When we compare it to Matthew 6, verse 6, where Christ was speaking of prayer to enter into our closets and to close the door. And thus, when we read of those chambers, that is a secluded place. That is a place where we may be alone, where we may meet the Lord under solemn circumstances, where we have heard of the indignation of the Lord. And now when we read in our text, and shut thy doors about thee, that means congregation, when we enter our chamber, and then there is a people, oh, that learns how poor they are, that they are so prayerless, and that they are so thankless. Ah, the necessity, the apostle Paul, who has been led so far in the ways of the Lord, and then he has written to the church of the Romans, in Romans 8, verse 26, likewise, also the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, concerning that chamber, then how necessary Christ becomes and remains and becomes more precious in his prophetical, in his priestly, and in his kingly office. When we read in our text of doors to those chambers, then in the first place, then those doors have to be opened because the doors can be shut. And then we shall mention a few matters. Then in the first place, when there is unrepentant sin, no, then I am not saying, congregation, that we must not come with our sin into those inner chambers, oh, with the burden of our sin. Where else shall we go with our sins and with our iniquities? But when there is unrepentant sin, when we willfully and boldly hold on to a certain sin, then that door is so shut. Oh, it is true, and maybe souls that are struggling with sins, that are struggling with addictions, alcohol, pornography, it can be broadened out. Oh, that the battle is hard. Oh, then we must come with our difficulties, with our addictions, with our sins, into a secret place. But what I mean, when we boldly and willfully hold on to our sins, then the door shall be shut. Then in the second place, then the door shall be shut when we live at enmity with our neighbor, and when there is not a willingness and not an attempt to reconcile. Because has Christ not taught his church in the fifth petition, forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debtors? Oh, then surely the door shall be shut when we try to pray for the poor, and when we have means sufficient and we do not help the poor. Oh, the necessity, that under solemn circumstances, that we may be given to consider how it is concerning those matters. Oh, that door shall be shut when we are so world conformed that we grieve the Spirit. May the solemn callings, on the one hand may we be drawn, on the other hand may we be driven. But, oh, boys and girls, fathers and mothers, office bearers, may under these solemn circumstances, that we may seek that secret place, that we may be given to cry unto the living God. And now we have heard it out of our text, and shut the doors about thee. That means the troubles, the world, the busyness of the world, not to misunderstand, and know with our cares, with the fears under the judgments, to lay them all before the Lord. But all worldly things, all the technology, that we may have places of seclusion and of quietness. Oh, a solemn thought in that chamber, a meeting with the Lord. And to that end, to shut the door, to receive an opening at the throne of grace. And now, young and old, what is now necessary in that chamber? Oh, then the necessity with the disciples in Luke 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. Then in the first place, a deep and solemn impression of whom we meet with our Creator. Oh, boys and girls, young people, have you remembered your Creator in the days of your youth, with our benefactor, with the Lord, the Creator of the heavens of earth, the lawgiver, the judge, a triune God in the further leadings. And then in the second place, an impression of His greatness, of His majesty and His holiness, and that He is of pure eyes than to behold evil. In the third place, under times of judgments, that the Lord is speaking. May it please the Lord to grant a chamber of humility. Think of an Abram in Genesis 18, when he was given to plead for Sodom and Gomorrah. Then in verse 27, he was given to confess that he was dust and ashes burnt up before Sodom and Gomorrah. Read Ezra 9. When the children of Israel have married strange wives, then he has confessed that he has blushed to look up. Then in the next place, that we have provoked the Lord with all our sins. David, when he has numbered the people, and when the angel with a drawn-out sword above Jerusalem, then and David was given to confess that he has sinned, but what have these sheep done? Then in the third place, to be given to reflect upon all the mercies past, the times of prosperity, the blessings which the Lord has given, and where has it brought us? Oh, to examine whether there were those times of true humility and of that thankfulness with that vehement desire that the Lord may be honored. Then in the fifth place, a confession of our sins and congregation, when it may be tender, then sins become particular. And then there are two special times when our sin shall rise up against us. And that in the first place, when we are given to bow our knees, when we are given to pray, when there are particular sins when it is tender and when it is right, then that sin shall rise up against us. Ah, then there can be times that we do not even dare to pray, but then to say, Lord, to whom else shall we go? Wilt thou look down upon such a wretch? Maybe when we give in to temptation, when we have not resisted evil, when we have listened to Satan, but when it is tender, then in that chamber, in a secret place, and that can be many places upon the earth, and then that sin shall rise up against us, but also in the second place, when the Lord sends special trials, when the Lord afflicts us, when the Lord sends judgments upon the earth, when it is tender, then that sin shall rise up against us. For a Jonah, he knew why the storm has come. Blessed place to come, when we may become a Jonah, when it may become our sin, and then in the next place, and then the necessity, to consider, as with a Job, for a Job, it was not for a particular sin, because we read of that Job in chapter 1, verse 1, that he was perfect, upright, eschewed evil, and feared the Lord, and the Lord has come with troubles, for messengers with heavy tidings. And then in Job 10, then he was given to ask, wherefore contendest thou with me? In that inner chamber, to come with that true repentance, with that godly sorrow, with a confession of our sins, in that inner chamber, to be given to bow under the Lord, ascribe righteousness unto God. When we read Daniel 9, when he has come in the guilt, where he has said, we, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but we have sinned. And then further, to be given to beg for the mercy of the Lord, that he may remember us and our children also under solemn circumstances. But, in that chamber, to be exercised with the first three petitions, that under solemn callings, that it may please the God of all grace, that his kingdom may come, that his name may be glorified. And, that third petition, then in this morning, we have mentioned Zechariah 1 verse 11, that the angels, they have walked to and fro throughout all the earth. And then they have reported that the earth was at rest and the whole earth lieth still. Then we have spoken of a sinless stillness. That is that bowing under the chastising hand of the Lord. But, in the midst of the church, what a sinful stillness, that the prayer chambers are so empty that they are too empty. May the Lord use the callings, that many among young and old may be given to seek for that secret place and cry mightily unto the Lord. A sinful stillness concerning her thankfulness, the exercises concerning the coming of Christ's kingdom. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. The calling still comes unto us. And then by renewal, what do we need? What does the church need? They need the work of the Spirit, because otherwise, then the visit shall be short. Then we shall soon arise. Then we shall come out of that chamber. Then we shall not be awaiting people. And to that end, may the Spirit be poured out in a rich measure. Let us first sing. Psalter 206, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Thy righteous judgment, thou wast said, shall in due time appear, and thou who didst establish it, will fill the earth with fear, and what follows. Psalter 206, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. An urgent calling to enter into our chambers. Whom are called? The reason why we are called. The place we are called to. And now fourthly, the hope in this calling. May it please the Lord that many may be found in secret places, praying for our personal needs, for our family needs, for the church, and for the nation. What a blessing it is when the Lord still grant desires. In Ezekiel 9, then the prophet Ezekiel has seen a vision that there were six men with a destroying weapon in their hand. And then there was another with a long white garment with an inkpot in his hand. And then that man went out throughout Jerusalem, and then he placed a mark upon the foreheads that have learned to sigh. What do you think, children? If that man would come throughout the congregation, would then there also be one or more that would receive a mark? Some years ago in the Midwest, when it was very dry, then I met a meat man in his electric wheelchair on the streets, and we began to speak of the judgments of the Lord. And that man did not belong to our church, from another denomination than he was given to tell. That when he was a boy, there was a time when him there were three brothers. They came home from school and they could not find their mother. And finally they found her in a secret place with a towel that was wet because of her tears. That mother was given to pray for her boys. And then that father said, and then I still remember one mother, and then she took us three boys upon her lap, and she began praying, and we felt that prayer, that it went into the heavens. That is what we so stand in need of, and that truly binds together, blessed that people, where it pleases the Spirit to lay a burden upon their shoulders, the church, a family, an individually, and where it truly becomes a matter of prayer and an opening at the throne of grace, and then to be given to experience that the Lord indeed gives, hears, and answers prayer. What an examples we have in the Bible. It is so necessary to cease, to pray without ceasing. As I read in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, think of Jacob in Genesis 32, that he was given to wrestle. When we read it right, then the angel was given to wrestle with Jacob. And to that end, Jacob was given to wrestle with the angel. And then Jacob has declared, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Elijah, with that little cloud as a man's hand, seven times he has sent the servant of Christ. It is written in Mark 1 verse 35 that a great early in the morning that he went to a secret place to pray. In Luke 6 verse 12, then it is written, before those 12 disciples were officially chosen, that he has spent a night in prayer. In Matthew 14, after Christ has fed the 5,000, then we read, after he has constrained the disciples to go into that ship, and where there would be a great storm upon the Sea of Galilee, that Christ was in that mountain praying for his church. And now the hope, because we live in a time that discouragement can be a great danger, and that the devil tells us that it is no use, that we shall never be converted, and that we cannot be saved but congregation. That is a lie. The devil is a liar from the beginning. The King of the Church at the right hand of the Father, he is still gathering his church and preserving that church that he has gathered. Christ has purchased his children for body and for soul, and may it please the King to use these solemn circumstances that a revival may be wrought, that many may be added as jewels to the meritorial crown of King Jesus. And now we read in our text, and shut thy doors about thee, hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. In the context, it would be 70 years, not for all of them, because there were 3 captivities, and that 70 years, that refers to the first captivity, but the Lord would send deliverance. Then concerning the troubles and the trials of the church, then the Lord has promised that he shall strengthen, that he shall place underneath those everlasting arms. And concerning that while, Peter has written concerning the time that 1,000 years and a day for the Lord is the same. But in that little while, then there is that promise that under the trials and under the afflictions, the Lord has promised to take care of us people until the indignation be overpassed. In Revelations 2 verse 10, we read for the church 10 days of tribulation, and now for the child of God, the Lord is free and sovereign concerning the manner and the day of their death. But then surely, then our text shall be fulfilled. Then at the day of their death, then they shall be delivered from all the troubles and from all the strife, from that triple-headed enemy, from self, from the world, and from the devil. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, congregation. What this week shall hold in, the Lord shall fulfill all his counsel. The secret decree of the Lord is hidden for us, but the Lord has exhorted, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. May we be given to do in a spiritual way, where we read in 1 Kings 20 of King Ben-Hadad, when he was at war with King Ahab, and he has come in the city of Aphek. The walls have fallen, 27,000 were killed, and then we read that he went into an inner chamber. In the original, in the marginal notes of the King James Version, then it is written that he went from chamber in chamber. Has that ever taken place, congregation, that you could find rest no place for your guilty soul, that you have paced the house, that you have went from one room to the other, that you have went outside, but a guilty sinner still? Then do as King Ben-Hadad. Then the King Ben-Hadad has given instruction to those servants that they must put on sackcloth and a rope upon their neck, because they have heard that the kings of Israel were merciful kings. May it be our prayer where the psalmist of Psalm 80, verse 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, thou wast granted on this solemn Lord's Day that we were still enabled and privileged to proclaim and to hear thy word. O wilt thou truly grant a prayer for one another? May it be bound upon the heart, pour out the spirit of prayer and of supplication, and also of thanksgiving, then by renewal, and then we humbly beg of thee, that may please thee and be according to thy will, that thou may place a fiery wall round about us and our children. Above all, wilt thou use the solemn calling for the extension of thy kingdom. Wilt thou bless the labors of our hand, keep from harm and danger. Then we remember a husband and wife who in the day of tomorrow hope to remember that thou wast spared them for 50 years. And the bond of holy matrimony, ah, Lord, wilt thou grant a humble and a broken heart in the midst of the family circle, for thy sparing, for thy protecting, and for thy providing hand, may they be given to end in thee. Prepare, grant that one thing needful. Lord, watch now over us in this night. Wilt thou be the faithful keeper, Israel? Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 220, the stanzas 1, 4, and 6. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, amid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. And what follows? Psalter 220, the stanzas 1, 4, and 6.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.